before you sit down, how great is your God? How great is your God? Let's shout out some things. What's so great about your God? My God is a God of forgiveness. How about you? Creator of the universe. What did I hear over here? Healing God. Faithful God. A God of love. And mercy. And patience. And grace. He's holy. Powerful. Let's pray. God, these adjectives just start a tip of the iceberg of what you are. So holy and perfect and loving and merciful and patient and kind and all these things, Lord, you are to us. And so we praise you this morning. We praise you. You are great, worthy of our praise. And we invite you to work in us. Lord, sometimes we look at your greatness and then we see our smallness. And we have a negative reaction. But Lord, cause us today to have a reaction that says you love us. And you draw us up. May today be a day of our chins being lifted up because of what we receive from you and the future you want to give us. We choose to trust you as we move into this new year. We choose to believe that you've got things in mind for us to walk into that'll bring you glory and us joy. We welcome those things and we silence the enemy now in Jesus' name and release faith upon the congregation for the glory of God. Amen. On the back table, there is two offering baskets. One is for our Free Lutheran ministry. You're encouraged to give towards that if you'd like to. The other one is for Tim and Dina Stromstedt, our missionaries down in Guatemala and Costa Rica. You're encouraged to give towards them. We do that as a Christmas offering, but we have left it out for one more week, encouraging you to give towards it. It's fun to think about Tim Stromstedt being one of my Bible college friends, and over here is another one of my Bible college friends, Kirk Militzer. It's a pleasure to have those two guys as part of my network. There's something about Bible college that knits people together for ministry, so I'm glad to see Reese and her circle of friends here as they are deepening relationships and hopefully a lifetime of ministry encouragement together. We have other college kids who are here with us for a little bit longer before they head off. And even them in a secular school learning their trade are encouraged to be part of a group of people seeking God together. And we look forward to hearing how God does that in your life. Well, thank you for being here. I want to bring a word of encouragement to you. I believe that God has for you plans. I believe that God has for you opportunities. I believe that God has destined you to experience things in this new year that'll bring him great joy. Think of that. You are on a mission to bring Christ joy. You are on an assignment to walk into things that God has put in front of you that as you respond to them in faith, God gets glorified. One of the things that'll happen is that lost people will see the love of Christ. Hurting people will be encouraged by the mercy of Christ. Confused people will be led the right direction through the truth of Christ. You become the agents of Christ to the world around us. That's what 23 has for you. Many opportunities. Some of those opportunities will come through pain. Some of the hardest things we go through are the things that benefit us the most. So I want to both encourage you, but also encourage you through preparing you that God has things for you to go through with him at your side that even though they might be hard, will result in great good for you. Now, I know the secular world talks about New Year's resolutions, and I'm kind of anti-New Year's resolutions, but I am all about biblical resolutions. The scripture is full of admonitions to prepare ourselves and to self-examine ourselves. And what a better day to do it than on a New Year's Day when we have communion. Consider these words from the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 31, he writes, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. Then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. Or the book of Lamentations adds at this point this way: let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Self-examination can lead to preparation for walking in the assignment that God has for you. But the fact is, we're surrounded by worldliness. We're surrounded by people who ignore Christ, ignore his attributes, ignore the assignment he's given us. And so we are constantly in a battle to examine ourselves and see what have we picked up as we have walked through life. I used to love to go hunting. It seems like it's a little too much of a winding, tiring activity. I haven't done as much. But in hunting, it's amazing to me how you can walk through a field, get back to the pickup, and even start eating and drinking. You look down and you've got different kind of burrs stuck to you. Of course, cockle burrs are the worst. Even if you pull them out, they still leave some kind of barbs that'll hurt you every time you put on that shirt or those pair of pants for the next few months. Things linger. Things stick. And they're not good things, oftentimes. So we're called by Scripture to be people who examine ourselves, to look us over and to see, is there anything in us that's displeasing to the Lord? And if so, do what you need to rip it out. Now, you might need to put leather gloves on before you grab that thing, but let's rip them off. Let's throw them away. Let's burn them up. Examine yourselves. Prepare yourselves. And today especially, as we get ready to share the Lord's Supper together, we want to be people who discern the body and blood of Christ and are preparing our hearts to receive what he has for us, because he has so much to give us. He is a God who encourages us to examine ourselves and then pursue him with everything we've got. We want to be people who pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, people who are choosing to let go of the old and grab a hold of the new, people who are choosing to let go of sin and grab onto his grace, people who are choosing to give up the habits that consume our time and build into our lives the habits that do. I encourage you again to consider January a season for fasting. Starting next Sunday and going for 3 weeks, I encourage you to let it be a season of fasting. And if you'd like, I can connect you with the daily devotions that are written by some of my friends in the College of Prayer movement. But it's going to be 3 weeks of removing things that are distracting us. So it can be 3 weeks of receiving things that God has for us. As we think about this, I want to encourage you to think about the life of the early church. The church was started on the day of Pentecost, when the promise of the Father was sent by the Son to fill the believers, namely the Holy Spirit. God the Father, through the ministry of the Son, sent the Spirit to fill the believers and to change them from what they were into what they now are and will become. On that day of Pentecost, the church was birthed. The church that had never existed before suddenly was. And the people were changed by God's work inside of them into this new thing. And they became people with new habits, new patterns, new priorities, new commitments. Turn with me your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we'll see this lived out. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 43. One of my favorite passages as we think about the church and our life together. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. It reads this way: and they, the first believers, the first church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. As a result, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. As we start a new year, we want to think about how we be the church that God wants us to be. How we be the body of Christ that God wants us to be. How we be the believers that God wants us to be. I think that in pursuing that question, we see the answer in the first church and how they behaved, what they did. Notice their commitments. The first one is they were committed to the apostles' teaching. In other words, they were a community of learning. They were a community that dug into the Word of God, whether it was written down already or the apostles were first speaking it out there. They were committed to the apostles' teaching. And that means that they spent time looking at the Word. They spent energy processing the Word. They spent a huge part of their being committed to doing the Word. Not just people who know it, but people who live it. People who receive the Word and then do the Word. Being doers of the Word. They were a community of learning. What does it mean for you to live out the gospel truth? What does it mean for you to organize your life around the teaching of Christ and the teaching of the apostles? How will things look? Maybe today is a good day to evaluate. Does my life, my priorities, my behaviors, my habits, does it line up with the truth of God's Word? Notice, secondly, they were committed to what's called the fellowship in English. The fellowship. The Greek word is koinonia. It's this concept that's a little foreign to us. By calling it the fellowship, we kind of water it down. The word koinonia is deeper. It's not just getting together, but it's having a devotion, a commitment to one another. Lisa's parents are sitting next to her in the front pew, and we so enjoy having them with us. In our first full-time ministry, we were assigned a church in Ohio, 1,000 miles from family. One of the things that happened as a result of being so far away from family is we've got a new family. The church became our family. We did holidays with the church, and we invited people into our homes. We had kind of those who were abandoned or those who were familyless join us. One of the things we so enjoyed was we were able to connect with foreign students attending the Ohio State University and have them over for the holidays. A new family. We were missing our biological family, so we had the church family. I want to encourage you to think about what it means to have a radical commitment to the fellowship, to the church, to the congregation. How is it that God is calling us to now live? Because really we do enter into our being new people with new relationships, new priorities, committed to the body of Christ. One of the ways this works itself out in this is that they got together. They spent time together. Besides time together, it says that they sold possessions to give to those in a position of need. They had everything in common, it says. Let's admit that this is radical. And then let's ask the question, how do we live this out now? How do we live out this kind of radical commitment to the body of Christ? As I've moved back to Minnesota, I realize some more of my time is caught up with extended family, which I so enjoy. But how might we live out this commitment to the believers, to the body, to our congregation, to those of you who are guests here, you're part of a congregation back home. How do you show your commitment to that body of believers? There was a grace that came. There was an empowerment that came. That word grace is sometimes thought of only as something working its way backwards as we think about God forgiving us for past mistakes. But I want you to see that the word grace has both a backwards aspect to it, but also a forward aspect to it. Grace is God's blessing to us to allow sin to be paid by his sacrifice to forgive us. So we're no longer tied to past mistakes, past failures, or the things that we used to believe and do. But grace is also an empowerment to go forward. It is God's grace that enables us to live the way he wants us to live. It is God's grace that enables us to prioritize his things and live them out. So I believe God has grace for you in this year. God has empowerment for you in this year. God has the ability to give you what you need so you can be what he wants you to be as you walk into this year. Grace to endure the hard times. Grace to show love when love is hard to show. Grace to trust when things are shaking. Grace to do what God is calling you to do. This congregation here in the book of Acts was committed to the fellowship, committed to the koinonia. This again is talked about in Acts chapter 4. It says in Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32, that all the believers were one in heart and mind. That's pretty amazing. They were one in heart and mind. Now you realize this is after Pentecost, after the Spirit came down and called people to a brand new relationship with him, after Peter preached the first sermon of the church, and 3,000 were added to the church on that day. And we don't know how many more days had hundreds, thousands of people responding by the time chapter 4 is written, but we're talking about a pretty substantial group, and it says that all of these people were one in heart and mind. Now, we're about 100 people, which is about the size of that first church when the Holy Spirit came down, and then 3,000 were added to them on that first day. Picture that. 3,000 people added to us right here, right now. I'd have to believe that some of those 3,000 people thought about things a little differently than I think about things. Had a little bit different priorities. Some of them even maybe had a different favorite sports team, like the Kansas City team. I don't know. But whatever were the differences, somehow it is said of these people that they were one in heart and mind. Was it because their heart was focused on Jesus? Was it because they were allowing the apostles' teaching to cause their minds to be aligned with the truth of Scripture? Something huge was going on here. Something miraculous. I encourage you this year to ask for that miracle to happen in your life. To ask for that miracle to happen in your family, to ask for that miracle to happen in your church, that we might be one in heart and mind, accomplishing the will of God. It says this early church that awe fell upon them, and that they were actually thought of highly by the surrounding non-Christians. A miraculous time. But I wonder if there might be a bit of it that God wants you to experience in this year ahead of us. It says, thirdly, they were committed to the breaking of bread. There's debate as to whether this is talking about the communion service like we're going to have at the end of our time together this morning. The breaking of the bread, recognizing that Jesus Christ broke bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body." Others talk about, well, this was them getting together and eating with each other and having a meal together. I think the experts who, as they write about this and debate this, I think the group that says it's a both and are probably most accurate. Because these were people who were getting together and sharing a regular type of meal, but they added to that meal the Lord's Supper. They got together in their homes and they broke the bread that they would eat. And then at the end of the meal, they said, this bread is a gift from Christ. It represents his body to us that was broken for us to pay the debt of our past and to empower us with his grace to move forward. A breaking of bread in their homes together. And fourthly, it says they were committed to the prayers. That term is probably wider than just asking for things. It's probably including the whole act of worship, the response to God that occurs when you recognize his grace poured upon us. They were committed to responding to God and saying yes to God and asking for what God wants to be done on earth as it is in heaven. They were committed to praying because they believed that God heard and God acted. They believed that God empowered them to be his agents on the earth, doing his will. They were committed to prayer. The apostles' teaching, the koinonia, or the fellowship, the breaking of bread and praying, they're committed to those things. During this month of January, we're going to emphasize these commitments. And we've got a few people lined up already to open up their homes. And everyone, even our guests, are invited into a home to have fellowship during the month of January. You let me know if you're going to be here in a couple of weeks. We'll find a spot for you. But every one of our congregation is encouraged to participate in January time of fellowship. Coming to a home, getting together, breaking bread together, worshiping God together, receiving instruction from God's word together, experiencing Jesus in our midst together. This early church experience the Spirit of God descending upon them as they were gathered in an upper room, experiencing these four things. They were worshiping, they were praying, they were together, and all of a sudden the Spirit comes upon them. And they're filled by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, changed by the Spirit. That's what God has for you this year. Being God's people, in God's time, to do God's work in God's places. If we were better at remembering things, maybe we could remember a year from now to reassemble and compare notes. What would we see as we left here seeking God and expecting God to do? What kind of things could we write down? What we saw God do, how we saw God work, how we saw God interact, how we saw God heal relationships and reach lost people and meet needs around us. I think God has lots of things for us to walk into. I'm sure it was hard when 3,000 were added in one day, and it might be hard for you to love some of the people around you. Are you the one that's hard to love? Go ahead and raise your hand if you're that. Oh, no. We already know. You don't have to raise your hand. God wants you to be the one who loves, the one who trusts, the one through whom God works. The early church was committed to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let's make those part of our commitment. As they were adding in these things, they were also, as an early church, removing some things. In order to make room for God, there needs to be a removing of some things. And so that's why in the month of January, we have a season of fasting. Fasting, of course, usually refers to the removal of food in one way or another, or for one length of time or another. But it can be the removal of anything. It could be the removal of things that distract, the removal of things that fill up your day, the removal of things that keep you from doing the things you want to do. It could be the removal of screen time, or it could be the removal of items that go into your mouth. But as you're thinking about the priorities of this new year and what God wants to put in, be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit say, there's a couple things I want you to remove and take away, whether for a long time or a short time, for a couple of days, for 3 weeks, for the rest of your life. How does God want to change you you're growing ever closer to Him. Let's pray. God, we are amazed at Your grace to us, that You would choose to do for us what we could not do for ourselves, that You would pay the debt of our sins, of our rebellion, that You would make it so that we could be as clean as fresh snow. Lord, we want to experience Your grace for everything that's in the past. And we do, by faith, receive it today. And Lord, we also want to receive Your grace, Your empowerment for going forward, Your empowerment for trusting You in the future. Give us the ability to trust You when things look so difficult, when things are painful. Give us the grace we need to move ahead. And Lord, we thank You that in Your Word, you do encourage us to self-examine, to look and see how we're doing, to evaluate our time usage and our the things our brains are focusing on. Lord, there are lies swirling all around us. Would You give us the ability to discern Your truth? The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. We receive the Spirit of truth as we move into this year. And Lord, we thank You so much for making us a body of believers. We want to grow in this grace of being koinonia, of being together, of living this out. We want it to be a noun that describes our gathering, but we also want it to be a verb that describes what we're doing together, God. A radical commitment to living the Christian life together. Lord, we ask that as we do that, that You would bring others to us that we can love on. That You'd use us and our relationship with You to birth new Christians. Here and around the world, Lord, we want to see lost people brought into a saving relationship with You. Because You are so worthy of being honored. You're so worthy of being worshipped. That's our heart's desire. Lord, we pray over the coming days that You would bring this back to mind so that we can spend time communing with You about Your plans for us for this new year in front of us. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.